This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm actually working with them right now to get the HELOC situation taken care of.
Look at you.
It is, you know, it's just a lot of documentation and paperwork. I don't just like to just be sending over my paperwork like that. You know what I mean?
Oh, it's much like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got it.
I'm moving lots of money.
When you got that house.
I mean, I'm just being honest.
Oh, we know.
Like, I didn't,
just on Eurobasket.
And I got multiple bank accounts. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how that all works. Like, y'all need all my bank accounts or just one of my bank accounts?
Leaders is helping you even in that way, in a new way.
So we're working on that, man. I got some expansion I'm going to do to the house.
That's cool.
See, that's what you use it for.
I'm going to convert the garage to a office / bedroom.
Nice.
Good move.
I mean, I don't, you know.
You don't use your garage.
We don't. You have a garage?
Yes. And
you
I use
it?
Yes.
For your cars?
Yes, both.
You park in the garage?
Both cars.
You said you ain't taking no federal chances out there parking on the street.
No. It's just nice. They don't know if you're home or anything. You know.
Well, you and I are the same.
I'm going to be honest. I kind of want people to know I'm home. Not that I'm worried about it in Germantown, but I just kind of want people to know that I'm at the house.
Because
it's when you're not at home that, you know.
People in Memphis don't use their garages.
Have you seen people stealing cars out of driveways with big automatic, you know, guns and everything else?
Yeah.
So, I mean,
there's also that part, too, where
your car is out there invisible,
right.
They know what you I don't do, but, you know, we just do it because we didn't have a garage previously, and we love having a garage. Part of it's just that.
Same. Yeah. Our garage gets used for storage. So
it looks to me like, I would say, like a high percentage of folks, either it's all storage or they're using just one slot and the other half is storage.
Yep.
But when I see people with open garages, mostly three quarter, everything else, it's either that. It's not two cars in there. Like Faith and I have ours jammed in.
Yeah. So we're just going to put it to use. You know what I mean?
That's good space. That'll be good.
And you know, make
it adds a bedroom. That'll add value to the home.
Yeah, exactly.
I think we're when you sell it.
Yeah, I don't know if we're ever going to sell.
35.
I think we're going to just kind of stick where we're at.
Well, clearly you're doing that now.
It's hard with these mortgage rates.
I mean,
we're staying.
Well, they are coming down in September. You will get that 25 EPS cut, and we are going to fire we're going to fire some people with the Fed. We're going to work, or at least try.
Yeah.
You know, and so we'll continue to work on that. Too late, Jerome. Too late, Jerome. I think we're going to get two rate cuts. So if you are interested, Jason, you know, you will be able to get a better interest rate.
Cool.
But that's not here, and that's not now. By the way, real quick before we get to the rundown, I just saw this today, and you're the perk person to bring this up with because, you know, you're a product of newspapers. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution is ceasing their print operations.
Mm.
Like, they're just not even going to print anymore at all. Like, they're done. Not even a Sunday edition. They're just getting out of the printing business completely.
Going to straight online.
Yeah. And obviously, you know, I work at the Daily Memphian, so I'm in that digital life already. But, I mean, you miss the you know, print is gone. It's in our lifetimes it will happen.
I don't get a print paper anymore.
Yeah. And most, I assume, like, only if you do, you're probably in your 70s or 80s, you know? And so I think, like, this is going to continue because it's 100%. A cost that it cuts, right?
Yes.
But I also think it's revenue that, you know, because you have ads, that you sell ads in that print product, right? I mean, so
but
I do.
But you're selling fewer of them over the years.
That's right.
That's why we're
that's right.
where we are.
And so what I assume is, what I assume happened is Atlanta, for Atlanta, and I don't know if that would apply, like, I think, does the CA still print every day? Do you know?
I think so.
That's crazy.
Out of Jackson,
I don't think
right?
it's just, yeah. I think they moved the whole.
Every day. Mm-hmm. But eventually there's going to come a time where the advertisers say, we're not doing print advertising anymore because we don't reach, you're not reaching the same amount of people. So we can't really justify the expense.
Been the battle for years and decades.
And so I assume that's what happened in Atlanta. They just got to a point where it was costing them money to print. You know, they said, we'll take all that away and we'll go online. But I always say this, like, you know, I love having things in my hand. You know,
mm-hmm.
I love having the physical print product in my hand. When I go up to New York and I stay at Sam's grandma's house, she gets the Daily News, she gets the Post. You know, I put it in my hand, I read it, you know, catch up on what are they saying about New York sports. You know, it's just nice to turn the page, and I'm going to miss that. It's just a little novelty. It's just a little, you know, relic of a day gone by. But, you know, it's all digital now, man. We're in a digital world. They don't take your cash at Simmons Bank. It's no good there. And you're not going to get print in Atlanta next time you go.
I'm fine with that, with the Simmons Bank part. We've all moved on from cash in some ways.
Yeah, this is a crypto-only society.
For some of us.
I used to have some. Now I don't. It's gone forever.
It's out there, man. You just got to, you know, tap back in. You can remember the key.
I'm trying to just forget it because...
Hypnotize yourself. Go back.
It's like 13 random-ass words.
Well, excuse me. Someone else should obviously...
I need a hacker.
Have someone else hypnotize you.
I need a hacker.
And go in deep and pull the 13 words out, bro.
I need Keanu Reeves.
I mean,
what Matrix.
This can be done. They did it in Office Space. It was great. Hypnotize the guy.
Yeah, I don't think they
completely would. Different dude.
It'd be like red, green, Taurus, you know, Brad, school. They have no connection to each other. It's just literally like very random 13 words. It's gone forever. I've moved on. I've just bet it all on Israel today. All right, they covered 11.5.
Oh, I knew you had money moving on the Euro basket.
A lot of people say, John, you don't win on European basketball, international basketball. That's what I went on. Are you kidding me?
Look like Jokic don't care that any of y'all bet. He's just out there having fun.
Jokic is out there like a golden retriever in a water hose. I mean, he out there doing like pirouettes, throwing it behind his head. It was an unbelievable pass, by the way. I tweeted it if you want to see it. He, unfortunately, his teammate sold. He didn't make the shot.
Right.
But, I mean, this dude doing, like, ballerina moves because he knows I don't care about it. I can't do this in an NBA game, so let me try it out here, you know?
You and your better peers are the only ones watching this mess, even though it's going on.
Well, I think Luka is going to play here soon.
Is going to play?
Yeah, he is playing, yeah.
All right.
Slovenia takes on Poland at 1:30.
Well, I should care a little bit more to see new Luka.
And then that's actually in Poland, so it'll be a home. That'll be a great atmosphere.
Interesting.
It'll be great. I signed up for courtside 1891. I'm about that life, bro.
You did. You're gambling on it?
I'm not gambling
on it.
I wouldn't say gambling.
Is it context, clues,
Brad? I'm trading on it. I'm investing in it. I mean, gambling has such a negative connotation. I mean, good grief. And then Greece and Giannis.
What are we not gambling on at this point, BC?
That's good right.
Lord. My guy's doing cricket. I mean,
No.
Do a cockfight.
Yes. Yeah, he's like out here in the boneyard.
That one looks a little bit more committed.
Yeah.
So you got Luka at 1:30 and Giannis at 1:30.
Wow.
Not playing each other,
that's
but
legit.
Greece plays Italy.
Okay.
Slovenia plays... Santi played today, by the way, and got upset by Georgia. Spain has 9.5-point favorites. Lost outright to the Georgians.
Yep.
Which, now, they have really come down post-Gasol.
They have. There's no doubt about it. They have.
You know.
They're calling it stunning. A stunning loss for Spain. 83-69 to the Georgians. I don't know. I tuned in a little bit. It didn't seem like Santi had a great day. So
do the Gasols have sons?
No, not, I mean, maybe, but not
obviously not ready now. But maybe, I'm saying for the future of Spain basketball.
Yeah, that's an. I mean, that's.
Seems like they might have to come back around.
Mark has a daughter.
I thought I remembered that.
Let's see about Pau. And, you know, Pau has three. He has a daughter, a son named Max in 2022, and then he had a third child who was expected in fall 2024. I don't know what the gender of that child
but
was.
Max could be next.
Max Gasol. But we're going to have to wait 2040.
Well, it doesn't look like those old, you know, old-timers, Rudy Fernandez, those guys got anything coming up.
Rudy's last go was the Olympics.
A while back.
This past one. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
we got a birth rate issue.
Do what?
Birth rate issue.
That's right. I mean, folks, you got to get to it. You got to get to it. You cannot let the powers that be and the headwinds keep you from having children. Have kids, you know?
Y'all do plenty of it around here in 929.
That's right. Who was the latest to have a kid?
Gabe. Most recent.
Yeah,
Gabe
was
eight
Giles.
Months ago.
And then
Myers. Myers, and then Jeffrey's got 2-year-old.
I've got a 4-year-old and a 1.5-year-old.
Yeah, so it went Jeffrey, and then you, and then Gabe.
Gotcha. 8 months is kind of a long time. Somebody needs to get to work around here.
Well, we're about time for somebody to step up.
It's right. That's
Calkins.
Right. Oh, no.
Old Calkins, yeah.
If Calkins,
mm-hmm.
we're going to have, yeah. I mean, he could adopt, don't shop. He could definitely do that. But I think,
house big enough.
I think by this point, I think the hay's in the barn.
I'll tell you what, we're on the other side of this thing. When you're on the other side of it and you start and you're an only child, you know where I'm going with this, Jason. You get a little melancholy.
Right.
Like, there is part of you that goes, you know,
kind of wish
that 18-year-olds went pretty quick. What do you think of adoption? I'm not suggesting we're adopting because we're not. I think I got talked out of it. But
it's very interesting that you say that because, you know, I wonder, you know, if you go the other route and you have a ton of kids and you're on the other side, like, is there an opposite, like, you know, man, that was not worth it.
That was
like,
hell.
You know, I don't know. Because I do think it's a lot easier to understand why if you only do the one kid thing.
Yeah.
Even if you, I think, do the two kid thing, you always are like, what if we'd have had another? What if we'd have done, you know.
We were old as hell, though, when we had Jake. I mean, we were both in our 30s. So,
yeah.
You know.
When I think, like, if I was in, you know, if I was in a spot like Jason, for example, and I had, like, an 11-year-old, and I was like, I'm through it.
Yeah.
I'm not going back to it.
Yeah, that's what
we're through the ringer now, man. Yeah. You know, I'm going to enjoy my life on easy street, you know? And not easy, but easy relative to bringing another one into the world again.
It's bittersweet, though, you know? It goes fast.
It does. And, you know, kids really are the ager.
Yes, they are.
They grow so damn fast, and you're like, damn, I remember when you were like 2. Now you're 6.
What the hell?
You know? So, anyway, yeah, we're going to have to wait on Pal. We're going to have to wait on Pal. Anyway, yeah. Israel got the cover. This is not about.
Thank goodness.
This is not a political statement.
Go.
This is not a political statement. But I did bet Israel minus 11.5. So, and they got the job done.
Congrats, man.
At the end. Yeah, no.
Cash.
I mean,
boom.
I'm the FIBA man. I'm the FIBA pusher.
You've made that clear.
I mean, don't forget.
Even before the Olympics last year.
World Cup 2023, 36-1 on Germany.
You got
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Thousands and thousands and thousands on that one. That was awesome.
Yep.
Anyway, let's do the run now.
It's the Rundown from Jason and John.
All the headlines with Jason and John.
Presented by Stuart Plumbing. StuartPlumbing.com will cure your plumbing blues. The Rundown on 92.9.
All right, we got college football tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Actually, we have a lot of college football. It's not just Boise State and South Florida, although that's kind of the most, you know, that's the most prestigious game. It's the ranked game.
Yeah.
25, Boise State out at South Florida. Again, Boise minus 5.5 tonight on the road at South Florida. Again, I don't have anything on this, but if you forced me to bet it, I would certainly take Boise State minus 5.5. But we do have other games like East Carolina, NC State. I mean, that's an American peer here.
Mm-hmm.
Be interesting to see kind of what they're going to look like with their new coach. So you got that one. You've got Cincinnati taking on Nebraska. So that's a pretty good one on ESPN at 8:00.
Yep.
At Arrowhead, so I guess it's technically a neutral site, even though it'll be nothing but Nebraska fans.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one of interest, if you even want to say that it's of interest, would be Trent Dilfer.
Oh, you're diving deep them against Alabama State.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if he doesn't win, you know, if they don't look, you know, if it's a mess, maybe you fire him even before the season's over.
21.5.
Maybe you can help expedite the firing.
I will absolutely not watch it by any stretch of the imagination. I'll probably watch, you know, I mean, it's at 4:30, so I'll probably watch some Boise State and South Florida for sure. just to tune in and see, you know, what that Byron Brown, you know, third year offense looking like.
If he's healthy, he's good.
Yeah. But outside of that, you know, seems like, you know, I mean, it's a very busy slate, but it's like not a lot of great games. I guess.
It picks up fast.
You got Auburn. That's tomorrow. Auburn Baylor's tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it does pick up fast. You're exactly right. I mean, because Saturday morning at 11 o'clock, it's on and popping.
Yeah.
But tonight it is Boise State in South Florida as the only ranked matchup. You know, we'll see. Again, it's going to be a nice sort of litmus test for not just South Florida to see, okay, I think they're fifth in terms of the odds in the American. Like, are you legitimate? Are you a real contender? What are you about? But also Boise State, which is, you know, trying to duplicate what they did a year ago without Ashton Jeanty. And, you know, are they that team? Are they a team that can, like, stake their claim as we're the best in the group of six or whatever they call it every single year? Can we just, like, roll out of bed and just have them as that? I think this will show us a lot, you know. And obviously, like, if South Florida wins, it's great for you if you're Memphis because you play them. And in some ways,
yes,
you control a destiny.
Yes. If every team in the AAC will be rooting for South Florida today because, again, this makes your conference look good and you're in a race with the Mountain West, basically, for conference winner goes to – you know, to the college football playoff as the group of five champion. So, listen, Boise State's the one, though, that's sort of built for this and the one that's done this before and the one that won't be intimidated going out on the road here to open. Remember how close they played Oregon last year. I realize no Ashton Jeanty, but the quarterback is the same. You got 14 starters back. I'd love to sit here. We did it over under there in the open and take South Florida and predict upset here, but I just don't think it's happened. Boise's built for this. They've got Notre Dame. They lose this one, it'd be super costly because you're likely talking about two losses right off the bat right there, and that can put your chances in serious jeopardy, especially if that AAC champion, you know, is a team like Tulane that's got a win over Ole Miss and goes on to win the AAC and has knocked off, you know, everybody else in the AAC, an AAC that beat you week one, can't afford that. So
yep.
Boise State's going to be – they've been here. They're built for this. And this is what they expect of their brand, you know, to
yep.
go out and win these games. So
yep.
I think they end up rolling probably.
Yep. But we'll see. And that's at 4:30. Again, 4:30.
It's a nice little, kind of a nice little afternoon treat there.
Yeah, a little siesta, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Now, what do you think about the Miami Beach Bowl champion Tigers, you know, releasing the Tigers against Chattanooga?
I mean,
because they're the team that started it all. That's what we said.
Yeah,
they are the first Memphis football team.
Yeah.
Understand this. The first Memphis football team to finish the year ranked in the AP Top 25.
I mean, that's important.
So you make a case that they're the team that technically started it.
Yeah.
They weren't the one, to, you know, the end of the long bowl drought. That, remember, what was that, New Orleans Bowl or whatever? But this was the one where you really start coming up to where the nation's eyes are on you because you're finishing Top 25.
Yes.
So, you know, nice way to start the year.
Yeah, no, I mean,
shout out to those guys. They did start it all.
Yeah, I enjoyed that team a lot because
3:30 kickoff.
That's for Memphis.
Chattanooga, yeah. Yes.
I enjoyed that team a lot because, you know, they, like you said, they were the pioneers of the new wave of Memphis. Like, hey, we're going to be competitive. We're going to do this again.
And it's 10-3.
We're going to reach new heights even. Mm-hmm. I mean, because D'Angelo never, you know, won the conference in his years there. So, you know, they definitely, I think they finished tied. I think that's kind of how that, but still, you technically, you know, you won the conference when you tied for first. So, and then we know they went on to do it in 2019, and they went to the Cotton Bowl. So definitely you look back, that was the off ramp. And, you know, I hate to say it, yes, the peak.
19 was the peak. We need to get it back there.
Just like 07, 08 was the peak for Memphis basketball.
It's like your credit score. You know, some of you got to get it back up.
Yeah, my credit score got dinged because I was going back and forth with Audi about, you know, do I need to pay this or, you know, I sent y'all the check.
Oh, yeah. That dropped that number, didn't it?
It did.
And then you're going to get dinked on this because we got to do a background on you with this HELOC. So you're going to open up another line of credit.
Yeah,
and opening up new lines of credit can dink a couple points.
Yeah.
If you have great credit.
Well, you know, my credit is definitely good.
So you're coming
good.
Down. What are we talking about? About 650?
Oh, come on,
right,
bro.
White man, so definitely
650.
You were born with that thing at 800.
650.
The question is, have you ruined the 800?
I think my credit score is like,
what?
And the kid, again.
Hold on, let me guess.
I just got dinged for a late payment that was not my fault.
Hold on.
It was Audi's fault.
819.
Nah, bro, it's 770. I just got dinged.
And they let you live in Germantown with 770?
I just got dinged.
Brad looks disappointed in 770.
I just got dinged, but before that,
dinged it was, about 50 points, 40 points. I'm surprised.
When you get that late payment on your record, bro, it's like because it was 30 days. Because I was like, I assumed that it was taken care of. Because I mean, I guess I could dispute it, but you know, I don't really care that much. Where am I going? What am I doing? I'll build it brick by brick like Butch Jones.
You got good credit. You're good.
Yeah, dude, 770. Let me just make this abundantly clear.
What is that good? That's not exceptional.
Leader
not
said
white
you
man.
Qualify. You qualify for our promo.
Yeah, APR. All the money. Yeah,
I said, I know. You ain't had to tell me. I mean,
I thought you had to have at least 800 living in Germantown.
There's two things.
Size, your size.
There's
house.
Two things I'm never going to worry about. One of those things is, will I get the Ohio State Texas game on Saturday morning? The second thing is, do I qualify for something with my credit score?
I mean, this should interest Palazzolo out there.
Now, we're unseating him. I gotta
start that again, please.
Yeah, because remember the water debacle?
I want to be able to drive through Germantown without getting pulled over.
Dude,
thank you.
If I'm mayor, I'll make you an honorary alderman. Especially because you just got chopped on Tuesday. You're looking good.
Dude, I'm trying to be in the Cordova alderman board.
I don't think you got any motion over there.
Well, we need one.
I mean, I think, you know, you're not making the inroads.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, I'm excited. I mean, Brad has me going to the game. I think he's demanding I go to the game on Saturday.
Come on, man.
Oh, no. Not Chattanooga. Save your bullets.
Arkansas.
Yeah, that's the one, bro.
Arkansas, September 20th.
I'm going to go that one.
Yeah, I mean,
whom Jonah Dillon predicts the Tigers will beat.
Yep, they're going to win. They're going to win every game.
He's got them starting 4-0, John.
I don't know if I can get there.
Guess what he's got right after that, though? Letdown loss to FAU.
What's the difference?
Ooh.
I mean, actually, it's worse if you beat Arkansas and lose to FAU.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather you lose to Arkansas and beat FAU.
Wouldn't that derail some things, boy?
Mm. Yeah, you're not going to the title game.
Well, that's what happened.
If you lose to FAU, you're not going to the title game.
Nah, with Florida State, you lose the next one. And that would happen?
Yeah, because it was like
I think it was Navy or somebody, yeah. Somebody much better.
Yeah. So
that would be tough. I'm hoping that doesn't happen. I'd rather just take the loss to Arkansas.
Exactly. And then just be ready for conference play.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, yeah, releasing the Tigers, or as Brad calls, call the dogs.
Sorry, that's just it's instinctual.
Bop, bada, bop, bada, bop, bop, bop.
Not to be confused with calling the Hawks, which we will also not be doing. We will also not be doing that.
Releasing the Tiger seems dangerous.
We don't have the live one anymore.
But we don't do it anymore.
Yeah. Like Siegfried one. And Roy, bite your head off.
I think we should bring the Tiger back. I think we need to go get one.
Yeah, do we lose the Tiger? We don't have the Tiger. Tommy gone.
He died.
Oh, he did. We didn't replace
him. The Tiger
it.
Died, and then we said, we're not doing this. Now, that was in 2020 when everybody was extremely woke.
Yeah, heard that.
We're not woke anymore. So I think we need to go get the live Tiger back.
Yeah.
You know? Cracker Barrel.
Now, where's it going to live?
At the dude's house. It's going to live at the dude's house. The Tiger guy? He's going to live in his house in his backyard. There you go. Isn't that where the other one lives?
I think some dude had it. Yeah.
I think he had it in the backyard, man. He built like an enclosure or something. As long as it ain't in Cordova, is what you're saying?
I'm just saying. I don't think we do this anymore.
I don't know. When did we decide?
And you have it in captivity? I'm not.
I wouldn't look at it like that.
It's being held captive. It would rather be roaming.
Yeah,
I don't care how good the backyard is.
Top three RIP famed Bengal Tiger mascot passed in 2020. This was when, again, everything was very politically correct. And we said, we're not doing the lie thing anymore. You know, it was just a different time in the world, right? Everybody was wearing masks. We don't wear masks anymore. Okay, the Cracker Barrel ain't going nowhere.
I've seen more masks.
And we took down this. We took down the divider. We took down the divider because it stood as a division between the United States of America, between black and white, and we took it down.
It was up for a good 3 years before we finally took it down.
Because why? Because we stopped being what? Woke. And so we need to
that
bring...
That is not true.
We need to... We said we don't care about these pathogens that are going around. Right? We're going to get all of them. We're going to share each other's sicknesses and diseases. And so I think we need to bring back the Tiger. And I think we need to release him on Saturday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Carol Bastion says no.
Just
forgot about Carol.
I think we just need to let him roam. We need to go
forgot
get him.
About her.
We got Tiger.
That's
in the
what
zoo.
A tiger wants to do.
Let him roam.
And be out there being released before the Mox game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Release that thing.
No, he don't want it. Let him live. Don't bring these Tigers here just to be
a tiger,
mascot.
A Tiger knows.
We got Pouncer and we got the 2014 team.
Yeah. It'd be fun to see those guys again.
Yeah.
Yeah. They started it all.
Who, like Paxton?
Is he coming back? Is it not Gabe?
Yeah, I think Gabe is in the mix, but they put the NFL players on the press release.
They announced Paxton?
Paxton on there. I think it was on there. Let me pull up the press release.
Shout out to Paxton.
I sent it to y'all.
Another reason for you to go to the games. He was one of your first.
No, it's a nice release they put out here.
You pushed it all in on.
Yeah, here it is. 10 Tigers were named to postseason honors, and that includes Bobby McCain, Effetti, Lynch,
BBU.
Jake Elliott, Anthony Miller,
wow.
Jannard Avery.
Jannard! Did he transfer? He thought about transferring. I think he ended up staying.
Tank Jones.
I don't really remember Tank Jones.
Jake Elliott. He was a defensive player.
I remember Jake Elliott. He plays for the Philadelphia Eagles. He's the kicker.
Yes, him.
Okay. I mean, I'm getting old. It feels like those guys played here a long time ago. Oh. And they did. It's 11 years.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it'd be fun.
Shout out to those guys.
But yeah, college football weekend kicks off tonight, this afternoon, I should say, Boise State in South Florida.
Next story.
I loved this story. I especially loved the video of it. Maybe many of you aren't watching the U.S. Open second round and didn't see Taylor Townsend's win over Elena Ostapenko. But boy, was it different than your average tennis match. Now, you're talking about a major, so tensions can run high. But after the match, which Tia Townsend, the American, won 7-5, 6-1, there was a back and forth, a face-to-face argument that, as they put it, that continued past the net and on off to the side. And apparently, Helena Ostapenko called Taylor Townsend uneducated. Her had said she had no education and no class.
Wow.
And that then, you know, led to Taylor Townsend, you know, she clearly didn't spit venom back into the face of Ostapenko, but she used that energy that Ostapenko had for her, and she threw that to the crowd and basically said, pack up and get on out of here. And here's the thing. These two have played before, and Elena Ostapenko has had a history of, when playing poorly, really showing some, you know, I guess in tennis it would be called manners, rules, whatever else,
yep.
But just a poor sportsmanship, to say the least, when she's been down. Isla Tomljanovic, there was a back and forth between them, a couple of back in 2021. So she's not new to this. She got down.
Mm-hmm.
She had played well early, and she got mad about Townsend not saying sorry about one of her winners hitting the net. Typically in tennis, hate to win it on that.
Right.
You don't have to do it.
Right.
And that's where her whole argument in terms of her being, no education, no class, is that Townsend didn't say sorry there. Brother, she does that, owe that to you. This started out of her frustration, especially once she started playing poorly, and it continued to build up. She let it off afterwards, and I was with Townsend, man, who said, you know, basically you got packed up. To do this and say how Townsend should be acting in her home country.
Yep.
This is the U.S. Open in New York. And so for you to say how she should be acting, you know, follow decorum, whatever, it's not your place.
Yep.
It's not your place to do. Even if you feel that way,
yep.
That's something that you can address with her off court. You tried to bust her out publicly, and by the end of it, you looked pretty bad. She's, you know, a lot of people have thrown, said that this is rooted in racism. You know, the fact that you would accuse anybody of being, you know, not having an education, you can make some ties that maybe this is racial. You're looking down. Now, Tia said she didn't, you know, Townsend said she didn't take it that way. Excuse me, I called her Tia. It's not Tia. It's Taylor Townsend. She didn't take it that way. But clearly, in this case, you're not going to come into Townsend's home country playing in New York and tell us, you know, about the rules of tennis, particularly as it regards to decorum and things like that. She beat you fair and square.
Yep.
Take your L, as Townsend told her, and get on off to the next match.
Yeah, I
agree. Fireworks were, you know, I don't know. I shouldn't say it was kind of cool to see, because it's never went poor. A display of poor sportsmanship is not. But let's be real. McEnroe would do that in tennis, and it was. It was poor sportsmanship, and a lot of those. We loved it. We absolutely loved it. Because you don't see it in tennis where manners do matter so much, and it stood out clearly. But I think Townsend had the upper hand just in terms of the way she handled herself. Right there in New York, and obviously in getting the 7-5, 6-1 win.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's part of the game, right? I mean, the net is part of the game, and sometimes you get lucky and sometimes you don't. And she got lucky, you know, I mean, there's no doubt about that. I mean, I think that's, you know, it worked to her favor that time. you know, I think there's, you know, sometimes in sports you get these unwritten rules. Like, this is one of them. Like, oh, you have to apologize if you win a point because of this or whatever.
A net cord.
Yeah.
Is what they call it.
And I understand, like, it's kind of like when somebody banks in a three at the end of a shot clock. You know, it's like, come on, bro, that shouldn't count. But it does. It does. You kind of feel like you should apologize if you do that. Like, oh, you banged in a three at the end of the shot clock. You're a clown. Get out of my face before I whip your ass. But I will say this. It is not often that you see, you know, Atlanta, which is, you know, of course, who Townsend, you know, represents there, versus Latvia, you know, a dispute there, like an argument. It's just kind of a funny, you know, little back and forth.
No, you don't typically see it.
Because she, you know, Atlanta's telling Latvia, you got to learn how to lose better.
She said, take this L.
And, it's just kind of funny.
And again, you're accusing of Townsend of having no class, no education. You got to lose with class. I mean, she's clearly showing no, you know, a lack of class in just terms of the way that she's responded. She had a problem with the way Townsend warmed up. This is the way that Townsend typically warms up. So she doesn't need to change anything for you.
Yep.
You took your second round loss. Just take it with class and roll on.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I will say the European women are it's an epidemic, you know, because
Townsend may say it wasn't racial. It seemed like some racial undertones to me.
Well, you know, I think it's always like the subconscious thing, right? Because you probably don't see a lot of black people in Latvia, you know.
Or so what they see of them is of a
that's
certain.
Right, that's right. Who's my girl? Sabalenka. She lost to Coco Gauff, and she was the sorest loser you'll ever see. Like, it was in the Wimbledon, I think. She lost to Coco Gauff in the final there, and I don't think that was racial, but you know, I just think tennis players hate losing generally speaking because it's one on one. You can't even like blame it on a teammate, right? It is the hardest sport to lose because it's your ass and it's one on one usually. You know, I'm not talking about doubles, but you know, singles. It's like it's you versus them. And so it's the hardest one to lose, I think, you know, individually, no question about that. But Sabalenka was just she was like saying how lucky Coco Gauff got, you know, all these different things, as opposed to saying it was a great match. She got the better of me today. Looking forward to, you know, you get the cool off period, right? But she still said that.
My thing, this seems to be characteristic of Ostapenko in terms of her behavior. She'd gotten into a spat back in 21, like we mentioned, with Ayla Tomljanovic at Wimbledon, Tomljanovic accused Ostapenko of lying about needing to leave the court for a medical timeout to address an abdominal issue. Townsend, on the other side, she's number one. She's moved to the top of the WTA doubles rankings. And so she's doing it the right way. She's taking care of business. She's at home being told on her, you know, on her in terms of here in America, the U.S. Open in New York,
right?
Being told, you know, by a foreigner how to act.
Exactly.
You know, and I thought she handled it beautifully.
No doubt.
And, let the crowd sort of tell. You know, the opponent where she could go.
It was the French Open, by the way, for Coco Gauff. That's the one she won, not Wimbledon. But I will say this for Sabalenka, she did apologize afterwards. So I'd like to see that from Ostapenko.
All she's done is answer to the charge of racism on social media right. So far. I haven't seen whether or not she's going to apologize after that. She's more interested in defending her
right.
Her own honor.
Yeah, but I think
as opposed to doing the right thing here,
that's
I think,
right.
Which is clearly if you look at the way the match went, it was like 7-5. She's playing great.
Right.
Second set, she can't bring it. What, lost 6-1 or whatever else it is. She's got you now, and you're super frustrated by it because you'd lost to her before. You know, y'all have a history. She's had the upper hand, and you could see it building. And so little things start to pee you off, and she just let it blow up, man. Take your L. There's a way to do that. We've all been in that situation before.
Absolutely right.
Show some class.
I like it, though. Instead
of accusing her of not having it.
I always love tennis talk on the show when we can get it in.
Well, this is, you know, U.S. Open New York City, baby. You're not going to tell us how to act in New York City in our own country. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Ben Shelton, by the way. I know when you were gone, this was a big topic on the show. Ben Shelton, the next great American tennis star, he's rolling right now in the Open.
Good.
He took down his first two opponents straight sets. So, you know,
everybody says our American men have a chance, but then it still comes down to
Sinner and Alcaraz. Yeah,
that those two are so head and shoulders above everybody else.
Yeah, but you know, this is always the one that they say because it's the end of the season. It's the end of the tennis season. So
school me.
Sinner and Alcaraz have won tons of majors already. They don't really care as much about this one. I mean, they care, but it's like they're, you know, you could see Ben Shelton hasn't won a major. He's gonna go as hard as possible. Whereas like if you're Sinner or Alcaraz, you're like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I won the French Open. I won Wimbledon. Although it does just always feel like we're going to get a rematch of those two in the final, just no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
so anyway, yeah, tennis is going on at the U.S. Open, and we'll see if an American can break through on either side. But yeah, some controversy yesterday. All right, we'll come back. Lots more to come here on the show. We're going to be joined by Bennett Doyle in the third hour. We'll talk to him about Memphis football kicking off, NFL, lots more to come. Stick around. Jason and John, 90 Turn FM, ESPN. All right, we're back. Jason and John, 90 Turn FM, ESPN. Lots of media news. We're both media nerds on this show. We like to know what's going on and keep up what's going on in the world of sports media. We got quite a bit of news yesterday and today. I don't want to rank it, but I do want to start with the NBA piece of it, which is Doris Burke. Doris Burke has gotten demoted from the NBA Finals. It's okay. Everybody gets such a long face. What I tell y'all, man, with this 2025, we're not woke no more. All right. I don't know if that has anything to do with it. My guess is no. But that was a team. I mean, even during the finals, there were articles written about this team and how it was, like, not going great, how the chemistry wasn't there and how – you know, they were watching it very closely with, you know, ESPN brass, and they've watched it closely enough and decided, hey, let's try something else. So they're demoting Doris Burke, who, by the way, I love Doris Burke. I think she's fantastic. I've never understood why people don't like her. Other than the fact that she is a woman talking about basketball, which is my only, you know, chance of trying to grasp it. Other than that, I think she's great. I think she's fantastic every time I hear her. But they are making the decision to demote her and then elevate Tim Legler. Now, a lot of people were calling for Tim Legler, who kind of just been waving in the wind a little bit at ESPN. Like, I don't really know what he does most of the time. I guess he comes on like SportsCenter every now and then, does those hits.
SportsCenter, Van Pelt uses
right,
him.
Right,
Greeny uses him on Get Up.
But there was a big push for him to have a bigger role, and he's got it now because he's now moving to the NBA Finals. So good work if you can get it. You have a thought on Tim Legler?
I think he does good work. And I think that's why you have folks like Scott Van Pelt and Greeny who have him on any chance they get because he'll go into the breakdown of things. He's watched the film. And so he brings that to the table.
I hate to talk about this in a way like Doris had earned this or something.
Like, you know, the demotion, this demotion you're saying, yeah.
Like she's not working as hard or something.
I agree.
This is clearly about, you know, a lack of chemistry, and I would point back to ESPN blowing up Van Gundy and Mark Jackson, who it was great with. They'd been, you know, with Breen, that was your best team, and it's been a revolving door since then.
Yep.
You're looking for something in terms of a chemistry, and you've stuck with Jefferson here, but you've looked for something in terms of a chemistry that you once had, and it makes sense that, man, it's sort of like grass ain't always greener, man. That's what they've gotten. I hate that Doris is taking the hit now.
Yep.
She's the latest. As they look for this new chemistry.
Yep.
I will say I'm higher on Richard Jefferson than most people, at least, you know, it seems to me that, you know, around here are. He's taking some shots at Memphis, so I get it. I'm not holding against you if you don't like Richard. I think he's funny. I think he brings great enthusiasm. But I hate to see this for Doris. And I don't think, because here, to go back to the point, I don't think now because you got Tim Legler in there, all of a sudden you got some great chemistry between him and Breen and Jeff.
Right. No, you still got to work on that. There's no doubt. I think Tim's great. Like you, I think he'll do very well in this role.
He does. I will say, it's mostly when I see him, it's studio analysis.
Mm-hmm.
It's not so much play by play on the fly.
Yep.
So you won't have that as much. But what he'll bring is a telestrator, you know, aspect to things that Doris does not do. Right. We haven't had a sort of a czar of the telestrator.
Correct.
And Tim Legler can bring that, and I bet you that's part of this. Because he can, you know, out of timeouts, whatever else, he can run it through, and he's really good at it.
Right.
So, you know, Jay Williams does it too. Do a little telestrator action.
Yep.
And they're missing that from one of those teams. So it makes some sense to bring him in and to do that.
Right.
He can do that, and, you know, on the fly or out of timeouts after breaking something down.
Yeah.
It'd be good to have because they didn't have it with the previous team.
Agreed. Yeah. So, anyway, that's one bit of news. Tim Legler is going to be the replacement for Doris Burke on the finals. Mm-hmm. John Fanta, who I guess is technically a colleague of mine at Field of 68, He is moving full time to NBC Sports to do Big East. He's going to be their lead Big East commentator, play-by-play announcer. And he's also going to be in studio for Big Ten and Notre Dame football games. And I think he's going to maybe do some Big Ten, some Big 12 basketball as well. And he'll also do some NBA sideline reporting.
It's a fantastic opportunity for him.
And could be part of the network's Olympic coverage, according to the New York Times.
I think he's a star.
Yeah, well, he's at NBC now, so his stardom has been realized by, you know, the thing I'll say about fans is that, you know, he just, he has such a excitement for the stuff, right?
Yep. Like zeal, yep.
Now, and I would just, like, you know, how much of it is actual real, like, is it just an act, you know? I think some of it probably is that, you know, but again, that's part of the talent. Like, he can get up there and he can, you know, make a game between Providence and Georgetown in basketball sound like it's the biggest game in the country, you know? Like, that's a talent. I don't mean that in a negative way, because sports is a grind, right? Like, it's the reality is that every game can't be big. There's a million of them. You know, there's thousands and thousands of them a day. And so when you can present them in a way that, you know, makes them feel bigger than they actually are, like for me, for example, I'm terrible at that. I'm going to call it like it is. This is a game between two 11-win teams. It sucks. I'd rather be doing literally anything else besides watch this game.
Oh, okay.
John Fanta will be like, Big East basketball is back on NBC, baby. You know, like that's.
But I mean, for the people that are into, like for me, for example, every UNLV game is a big deal to me. So I want the announcer who's calling that game, even if they
suck,
to like go kill it. You know?
Now, again, let's talk about UNLV when they're 4-8 on the season.
Yeah.
It's not going to feel like such a big game.
It will to me, though. Like, I'll watch it.
Even if they're 4-7,
yeah,
it's going to feel like
a big
game.
I will watch it.
In football?
Yeah, I probably still watch it.
All right, man. Yeah. I mean, I didn't realize how.
But I mean, I think you're right. He has developed a skill for the enthusiasm for the broadcast.
I mean, that's
no question.
I mean, that's really like so much of it, right?
Oh, there's
like,
no question.
So much of it is just the, you know, it's easy to have enthusiasm for like the Olympics, bro. Like, who wouldn't have a, you know, that's not the hard part. It's like you're doing a Tuesday night Big 12 game against UCF and Cincinnati. You know,
yeah.
Can you get up for that one? You know, and I think that's the thing about Fanta that is just. Like, in the article, that's what Andrew Marchand points out, his enthusiasm.
What does rants on the Browns sound like? Because he also pointed to that.
He just kind of rants about how bad they are.
They must be pretty good on social media if he's noted for his rants about the Browns.
Yeah, people.
Assuming he's from Cleveland?
I think so, yeah. Okay.
Just 30 years old. Very impressive.
Yeah. He, you know, people like Fanta a lot, you know. You got to be one of two things in this business. You got to be liked or you got to be hated. It's one of the two.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of times you can be both, right? Like, everybody has their own opinions, you know. There's nobody that's, like, is Skip Bayless liked? He actually is by some people. He has to be. But he's also hated. He's also, like, it gets you to feel something regardless of what it is. You know, that's, when you're in the media business, and I think this even goes to writing something, like, you have to make people feel a certain type of way. Whether good or bad, whether positive or negative, because if you do either one of those things, you'll be around for a long time. Fanta goes to the positive. Skip Bayless goes, in my opinion, leans more towards the negative, but that's why Skip Bayless is still doing things. He's still working. He just announced yesterday that he's got a show coming up with Gilbert Arenas. And I don't know if it's going to be on television or not, but they're going to start a show together.
Produced and owned by Underdog, who hosts Arenas' current basketball program, Gil's Arena.
Yeah.
It's gained popularity in the digital world. I mean, it's, you know, he's trying to compare this to previous stints working, obviously, on First Take with Stephen A.
Yep.
And then with Shannon, and saying that Arenas is the next one on
right.
the show. But
right.
what is clear is that Skip Bayless, at 73 years old now, no longer at the height, the pinnacle of his media career.
Yep.
And this looks like a last-ditch attempt to try to recreate what he had with Stephen A. And for a while with Shannon.
Yeah. I mean, again, he doesn't have to do this. He's 73. I assume he's just competitive. He's a competitive guy. I feel like he can do it. But, like, again, Skip is a good example of the alternative. It's like he has relevance because people just want to feel – they want to react to something that he says. Now, you know, do I watch Skip Bayless and feel anything? No. But, I you know, I don't really watch that kind of television. But a lot of people do. And a lot of people do react, you know, to his tweets or whatever the case may be. And media's changing, right? Like, it's going more towards – the underdogs. Like, you don't have to go to FS1. You don't have to go to ESPN.
Yeah.
You can kind of do your own thing now, in a way. You sell your own, like, you know, Mike's doing that podcast with Udonis Haslam that's very successful. The OGs, you know, that's just on YouTube. You know, it's you sell it, you advertise it out, and there you go. You don't necessarily need the traditional distribution like that you once did once upon a time. It can still work, but there's just more than one way. There's more than one way to skin a cat. So that's what Skip Bayless is showing here. But you got to be able to cut through, right? That's the key. And I think Skip cuts through for a lot of people. He's not just another.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, used to do it to, yeah, certainly, to more of a degree, yes, than he does now. Yes. Now that he's not on FS1, yes, he's not on ESPN.
Yes.
It's on a much smaller platform, I suppose.
But that's why you see, like, FS1, for example, they got rid of Carton. They got rid of the other, I don't even remember who the other guy was.
But I don't think Skip's relevant anymore. Think about, you know, I give him all the credit in the world on, yeah, what's been an unbelievable career. It feels like to me a man that's hanging on.
Oh, yeah.
Trying for his voice to, yeah, still resonate in a world that doesn't want to hear anymore. Yes, the takes, everything else. Listen, he had a great one about Brady passing up Shedeur Sanders 5 times, like whatever. Mm. But it's the condescension. It's you know, Shannon felt that.
Right.
I think people that have worked with him felt that. And we're you know, it's played out. We've seen it.
I agree with
worked
that.
Worked for a while. It had you at the top of the game in terms of ratings and everything else. And I just think the axe got a little old. That said, I'm not faulting him or whatever else, but he would be one of those guys at 73.
Yeah.
You just said this dude's earned all the money he's needed to. He doesn't still need to do this. He could be traveling the world.
Yes.
This is about still wanting that, you know, your voice to resonate. It's about your ego at this point.
Agreed.
And I'm just saying, you can keep doing that. It's not going to get louder because you have Gilbert Arenas. You're not going to get back what you had. That's the reality for Skip Bayless at this point in his career.
That's right. I think I do think you're in terms of Skip, there's no question. Like, his career crescendo was probably
just, we've
like
seen it. Right.
Whatever the last year he and Stephen A. Smith did their show was.
Probably. I thought him and Shannon kind of recreated. I thought Shannon ended up, I think that's more of a credit to Shannon.
Right.
And the partner he became. It, yeah, really was.
Yes, but there's no doubt. He was fantastic. But yeah, I mean,
don't get me wrong. I respect the man.
No, he'll
respect
get
the career he's had.
He's getting, yeah, this opportunity on name, right? Like, he's got 3.1 million followers. But in terms of, like, being able to still move the needle like he once did, absolutely not.
No, it's like, you know, when he was dropping Lil Wayne's name a couple, right, of years ago, I just talked, right, a little bit, clout chasing. Like,
yes,
like, bro, you don't need to do this. But you know, let it, like, go. This is kind of where I get with some of these.
You see what FS1 is doing, though. You see what ESPN is doing. What are they doing? They're not, you know, putting on their own talent. What are they doing? Fox Sports 1 and Barstool have a partnership. They're just using Barstool people. What ESPN today announced, they're doing the Bussin'. They're going to bring on Bussin' with the Boys with Will Compton and Taylor Lewan, former Titans left tackle. You know, they're just kind of subletting, you know, other personalities and putting them on their network because they don't have the people that cut through anymore, you know, for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to cut through regardless, whether you're doing local, whether you're doing national, you got to be able to reach people. Every time somebody tweets me something negative, I'm just like, I want to eat it like a dub. I want to just like, you don't understand. This is so good for me that you're saying these things to me. I don't even react to the nice stuff.
You're like,
piss off.
You're like Arch, who says he flips it. He does. It's not pressure on us. We're putting the dot on it.
That's right. That's right.
You flip the script.
If I don't get at least 4 or 5 like hateful tweets a week, I'm not doing my job. I'm becoming less relevant. That's kind of the truth.
Okay.
I will say, while we're on the subject of ESPN, though, did you see?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Shop Blinds.com Labor Day Mega Sale happening now. Save up to 50% site-wide plus a free measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.